so true to herself and so true to everybody with whom she came in contact. She was born to her wonderful parents, Abraham and Mazal Tov Barki. She was married to her devoted husband, correct me if I'm wrong, 70 years? Plus 70 plus years, Victor Amir, who I think just almost 2 years ago passed away. And we heard wonderful stories, wonderful tales of their romantic life together. They adored each other, and it showed. She, of course, is survived by her daughters, Susan, Marcel, and Roseanne, who look up not to only her, but to their father. I remember visiting with them after Victor passed away, and the same aura in the room existed, that they spoke with such excitement of the life of their parents, and with such reverence and respect for what their parents had between them. She was the last, I understand, of the native-born Rhodesleys in the Seattle Sephardic community, which is a very sad milestone. Her siblings, she was the last of her siblings too. She was held up the fort over these years as the only surviving sibling from her very large family, consisted of Claire Flash, Rachel Erdrich, Morris Barkey, Victor Barkey, who I remember well, and Jack Barkey, Alehem HaShalom, all of blessed memory. She was adored by all of us. She was adored by her family. She was a devoted mother and a loving wife and a loving grandmother. She came to the United States when she was from Tangiers, was it? Directly from Tangiers, but prior to that, from Rhodes. She was only 14 and didn't know a word of English, but extremely bright. She knew other languages, and she could converse in Italian. She knew some French, probably smatterings of Hebrew, no stranger to foreign language. And it became part of her personality. She would encounter, she was what Karen, her granddaughter, told me a couple of days ago, super social. She was a super social human being, and we all know that. But what we didn't know is that she would strike up a conversation with cashiers, with taxi drivers, with people maybe in the waiting room where she might have been. And then this is probably the greatest compliment you can pay a stranger that you just met that doesn't know English. She would find out if they were foreign, where they came from, where they were born, what was their mother tongue, and then if she knew that language, would begin to speak in that language to that person. So I don't know if you know this, but if you meet someone from another country and you happen to know that language, and then you start to talk to them in that language, you have just broken the ice with them, because you've said without saying so, please, I think you're a wonderful person, let me talk to you, I want you to feel at home and comfortable in our conversation. And it's, you know, you hear stories about this, so she wasn't shy to do that, and it was just her way of showing generosity, kindness, and her warmth to someone who she just met. Like so many of our parents and grandparents who attended high school here in the United States, in Seattle, part of the United States, she attended Garfield High School. But she attended Garfield High School for many years, not only as a student, but she worked there. She was an executive secretary for Garfield High School. And for those of us who grew up in the 70s, I went to Franklin High School. For those of us who grew up in the 70s, high school wasn't the most fun school to go to when you were in those teen years, it was a little violent. There was a lot of racial tension in the high schools in those years, and you know there were stories of different unfortunate incidents that occurred with a lot of bullying, a lot of intimidating confrontations. She was in Garfield as an employee at that time, and even at the encouragement of her family, maybe slow down, maybe you don't need to go in all the time, maybe find something different, she wouldn't have anything to do with that. She went in every single day to the demilitarized zone, or maybe I should call it the militarized zone, of that area, and she just did what she needed to do with courage, brave, and a strong constitution and disposition to just forge forward. She also, as we all know, who for those of us who are in the community and go to different community events, you would see not her and Victor, you know, they're always together. Wherever he went, she went, and vice versa. And you would see him at all of these communal events with that contagious smile that she had on her face. But they would actively engage. They weren't spectators. Whether it be something Sephardic culturally, at the synagogue, it was cooking or baking or for services, whatever it was, they engaged fully. They weren't in the stadium. They weren't there to watch. They were there to do, to practice, and to be part of. I remember, and the family reminded me of this too, many years ago, when Victor was called up to the Torah in commemorating their 60th wedding anniversary, because that's what you do when you have a nice life cycle event of happiness, and you come to synagogue, and you get called to the Torah, you make a blessing, and you're happy, and then you tell the chazan what you want to commemorate. You know, I'd like to honor, donate such and such in honor of this occasion or that occasion. And Victor would do that on many, many occasions. On this one occasion, though, of their anniversary, he skipped the part where you tell the chazan, and he turned around to the synagogue himself and trumpeted his joy and happiness and the love of his life, his wife, being blessed with her for these 60 years, and everybody, and he couldn't have said it any better. But that's who they were, and that's the kind of woman she was to bring that out in her husband. You have to be a remarkable woman to get that kind of reaction from your husband. There is something also very noticeable about Regina Amira. She came from the old country, but she spent the majority of her youth here, 14 years old, is just a young child, and all of her adult life in America. Yet, for some reason, and I think I know the reason, she retained all of the flavors and all of the attributes that we don't get when you're born in America and you go through Western civilization the way we do. She was able to, we knew she came from the old country. She didn't speak with a huge accent. How did we know? It was because we have this Latino word, her mañas, her mannerisms, and the way she greeted you, and the way she talked with you, and the way she moved, and the way she greeted people in synagogue or at any social event. She had that magic of the old country, not only in demeanor, but in values. She knew right from wrong, she knew left from right, she was not confused, she was able to reconcile modernity with the old country and fuse them artistically together to create the individual that she was, and how we all perceived her, viewed her, and interacted with her. And it was so subtle, because that's who she was. She was not ostentatious. Again, she wasn't out to win popularity contests, but she was so popular because of her charm, her natural charm, and that is a trait of people from the old country. The way they embraced human beings, the way they approach you, the way they value you when you're talking to them, you have their undivided attention. They have everything, the values that we were taught, she lived and she acted. We're gonna hear from Sue and Marcel Sue shortly. And they will share some, I'm sure, very beautiful words about their mother. But I just want to conclude that to you sisters, the children of Regina and Victor, your legacy is your being the children of Victor and Regina Amira. That in itself is a legacy. They were, as I said, icons of this community, loved by everyone. And I know I share the sentiments of all of us here today who gathered this afternoon. Your mother loved you dearly, and I know you loved her dearly, and it is with blessings from Almighty God that we wish to you that you find strength and comfort as you cherish the many loving memories that all of you, that each of you has for your mom and for your father as well. May you each be blessed, and your families, and your extended families, with the comfort and the consolation and the divine embrace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God, that can only come from God. You know, that's why we say, people say sometimes we want to wish you comfort and life and health, but we are greeting to those who are in mourning. It's unique to Jewish people. We say, Min HaShamayim Tenuchamu, that God should give you comfort, because true comfort, grief is a condition, and the antidote for grief is nechama from God, and it can only grant that through time and through the way that He has set the world in motion. So we say, Min HaShemayim, that God should give you comfort and consolation soon, and that everything, that whenever you think of your mom and your father, it should put a smile on your face similar to the one that your mom wore throughout her life. Zichrona shetehe nishmata tzirura v'yitzror ha-chayim b'gan Eden v'zichrona livracha.
Thank you so much. We're speaking on behalf of the three of us. As most of you know, Regina Barkey Amira didn't come to the United States until she was 14 years old. She was born on the island of Rhodes in 1932. At the age of 7, she was expelled from her home country, as were others, before the Jewish community was decimated by the Nazis. The family went to Tangier, Morocco, one of the only places in the world that would take Jewish refugees at that time. Mom had one memory of the long trip that took the family from Rhodes to Tangier. She kept it to herself for many years. That memory was her only possession, a doll, falling overboard on the long journey. The family lived in Tangier under harsh conditions for 7 years, while Regina's aunt and uncle, Ray and Ralph Capelluto, petitioned the U.S. government for approval of visas for the family to immigrate. Regina's father was denied permission for 3 more years, and the family had to get along without him in their new country. I mention all of this because in later years, Mom became one of the anchors of our Jewish Sephardic community here in Seattle. Her parents' generation were the ones who structured the foundation of our communal identity. Regina continued their traditions while balancing being a modern career woman. She was proud to speak the Ladino language and pass it on to others, was an amazing cook and baker of our delicious foods, and loved teaching these traditions to younger generations.
The most important event in Mom's, and certainly in our lives, was when she met Vic. Their love story lasted more than 70 years and was legendary. Another very big part of Mom's life was her career at Garfield High School, which was the school she attended when she came to the U.S. We used to joke that it took her more than 30 years to finish high school. The friends and memories of her time working there were very meaningful to Mom. Mom was so happy to have three generations of family, including four great-grandchildren. We also have cousins who were very close with Mom and who have been a wonderful support to her and to us. We also need to thank Mom's wonderful caregivers, Heidi and Amy, with whom she became very close. Extra special thanks go to her granddaughter, Karen, and husband, Itamar, who were always there for her willingly and happily. Importantly, we would like to thank the staff at the summit, our parents' warm and welcoming home for the last 7 years, and the incredible staff of the Klein-Gallen home that continues their commitment to preserve the feeling of honor and respect for our community. So now she can be with Dad, her Vic, and rest here among our elders who have passed on. We are burying our beloved Mom, the last person in Seattle born in Rhodes, whose legacy was keeping alive the memory of this special community. Regina, de nuestros corazones, que tu alma reposa en Gane Den.
Amen.
Beautiful words. Thank you so much for sharing those. We'll be making our way to the interment shortly.
Cynthia wants to speak.
Who?
Our cousin Cynthia wants to speak as well.
Please, yes. Sorry.
Thank you for indulging me today. And I wrote some words about my beloved Auntie Regina. Some of them might be repeating some of the wonderful words that Rabbi Baron spoke, and same with Susan and Marcel, but I just felt compelled to do this because we were so close. This is hard for me. I want to speak today in honor of beloved Auntie Regina, and I can't believe that we're making borekas together on July 16th, and now we're here. It's common for news reporters like myself to lead a story with what we call a Zimmerman, a real-life person who represents the story that's about to be told. Today, Regina Barkey-Amira is a Zimmerman. She, more than anyone else in our community right now, represents the Jewish community of Rhodes, where she was born, the Seattle Sephardic community, where she came to live in 1946, and our family, where she served as the last living member and became its matriarch. Regina was the last one standing. If we had some raki right now, we would raise our cups to toast her. She'd really like that. She loved her raki. Regina was the last native-born Rhodesli alive in Seattle's Sephardic community. You can tell this is a big deal because we've all spoken about it. And she was the last one left in her generation of our family. Although she lived to the ripe old age of 93 and really tried to squeeze every last good time out of her long life, the loss is especially hard. Because in addition to losing Regina, we lost the last of her generation here in Seattle. Rabbi Baron and her children have already spoken eloquently about Regina's life, and I want to speak to you about the special relationship that I got to have with her. Regina was my aunt, the youngest of the six Barkey children. My mother, Claire, was the oldest, but sadly for me, she died 34 years ago when I was only 28 years old. And due to my mom's dementia, I never got to enjoy an adult relationship with her. But my relationship with Regina, especially over the last 10 or so years, was different. She wasn't a second mom to me, although she definitely was like a grandmother to my two boys who never knew their Sephardic grandma. Rather than a traditional auntie-niece relationship, I would characterize my relationship with Regina as a true friendship. We became especially close when in 2016, we embarked on a speaking tour together, appearing at many venues as we spoke about our family book, A Hug from Afar. I spoke about the book, and Regina personified my mother, her older sister, the true author of the guts of this book. She read, sometimes in her native Ladino, excerpts from the letters that my mother wrote when she was trying to save the family from the Nazi invasion of Rhodes during World War II. Since Regina was only 7 years old at the time that the family fled Rhodes, I believe that participating in this endeavor really continued to ground her in her family's tragic yet unique story as Jewish Holocaust refugees from Rhodes. It allowed her to elevate family heritage beyond the Ladino language and the Sephardic cuisine that she had perfected to a level where she represented the Rhodes Jewish community. A real-life person with a sweet, tiny accent who brought to life La Judaria, where the Jews lived as a tight-knit community on the Aegean island. It was fun to watch her rise to the occasion to represent her native Rhodes. To say Regina was social is an understatement, as we've heard. She really loved this exercise. She loved answering questions from audience members, meeting people after our talks and asking them questions to see what they had in common, including whether they attended her beloved Garfield High School. Even on her way to her last visit at the hospital a couple weeks ago, Regina apparently struck up a conversation with her ambulance driver and learned that he had visited Rhodes. He showed her pictures. As her daughter Marcel said at the time, "Mom can make a new friend anywhere, in any circumstance." Regina was fun, friendly, flirty, and always tried to find a deal. She would literally spend hours talking on the phone. We would spend hours talking on the phone about nothing, just practicing the art of echar lashon, like they did in the old country. We were 30 years apart. She actually gave me my first bath because she had experience raising three daughters when my mother finally had me at the ripe old age of 41. We mainly talked about things involving the Sephardic community, common acquaintances, family members, and cooking techniques. With her brothers Vic and Maury gone, she became the family historian. A few months ago, I spent many hours with her going through old unmarked photos. She could identify nearly every family member in those faded pictures, many from the old country, some who died in Auschwitz, and others who are now spread throughout the world in Israel, Europe, the US, and South America. Not only did she say their names, but their relationships to others, and she offered little stories about each of them. I took notes with a goal of preserving these memories. Regina was also the best Sephardic cook and teacher. She taught me how to make borekas, always tasting and adding more salt and cheese. When we made borekas together for the last time less than 2 months ago, she complimented me on my repulgo, or edging. After being coached on that many times, it made me feel like I had finally arrived at boreka perfection, even though we still argued over the correct size to make these borekas. Her bizcochos recipe, with just the right amount of sugar and crunch, was my favorite of all the bizcochos I've eaten. We made hundreds of filikas together for my son's bar mitzvahs and for other occasions. We prepared those plus prasa patties for our Rosh Hashanah Yehi Ratzoneh Seders, which we were honored to host for many years with Regina and Vic as honored guests and leaders. I treasured the last few times with them, knowing that they wouldn't last forever. This year will be the first time we'll host our special dinner without them. On Hanukkah, I even would be willing to have my house smell of oils for days as Regina presided over the stinky but yummy bumwala making party. I wonder years ago what would happen when Regina was no longer around to take my phone calls when I needed Sephardic cooking tips or advice for the Sephardic way to celebrate the Jewish holidays. As a native Ladino speaker, I also used her as my personal dictionary. Who will I call now with questions about the meaning of a Ladino word or translation? I knew this day would come because no one lives forever, and Regina was certainly logging the years. But this is hard. Regina was the last remaining member of the six Sparky children, the family matriarch, the last native Rhodesle in Seattle. She was my favorite auntie, and based on the fact that several of her nieces, nephews, great nieces and nephews are here today, even traveling long distances to get here, I know they felt the same about her. Regina, we'll never know how much I love you, and I truly miss you.